Baruch Hashem Adonai Shalom Chavarim Uf Mishpocha, which means, blessed be the name of the Lord. Peace to our friends and our family listening out there in WHK Radio. Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour on WHKW Christian Radio. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. So get your Bible, your pen and paper. Get ready to take some notes and enjoy the next hour of learning God's Word, especially on the study of the end days, where the book of Revelation in chapter 1, verse 3 promises us a special blessing when we do. But first, we'd like to offer up a prayer, and we'd like to start by asking our Heavenly Father to remember all those that have called in and emailed us with their requests, and help us all members of the body of Christ, to hear all that send in requests. Lord, please, in the name of your Son, please remember them. And also, I'd like to pray kind of a short prayer today, but it's taken from the Scriptures. This time it's from Psalm chapter 19, and it's a very simple prayer. And it goes, may the words of our mouths and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and Redeemer.
Wow.
Amen.
Let nothing come out of our mouth that's unpleasing to Him.
That's right. And He's our Rock and our Redeemer.
He is.
And a Redeemer is someone that has purchased us. And we have been purchased.
We have.
And we belong. We belong to God. Therefore, so, back in the Old Testament, as they say, God was known as the Redeemer, because this is from Psalm 19.
That's right. Well, I want to thank you for that nice prayer. Shabbat Shalom to you on this fine day. What a great day to be alive.
Oh, it is. And it's a great Shabbat. I'd like to say just hi real quick to those listening, especially Matt and Mary down there in the Stowe area today. They've come a long way to visit family.
Okay.
And if they're tuned in, just say hi.
Well, hey, since you got to do that, I got to at least say happy birthday to my son, Jason. Happy birthday, Jason.
All right.
I want to remind you we're going to be opening the lines later in this hour for your questions on the topic of eschatology, which, of course, is the study of the end of days.
Okay. And remember, if you missed any of our previous shows, and they are packed with information, you can go to shofarministries.net. Here you'll find all the shows listed, and all you have to do is press a button, and you can hear them right online. And also, oh yes, here's the big question of the morning. What are we going to discuss this time, Sheila?
You're slacking off there.
I am.
Well, we're going to continue with some more rapture scriptures.
Oh, there's more?
Yes.
We've been doing this for 2 weeks, and I thought
know.
We had them all.
No, we still got more, and we'll probably even have some more next week. Oh. In fact, if you're out there listening and you happen to find a pre-trib rapture verse that alludes to it, please email me with that. I'd like to read it over, and if it's good, I'll use it on the air.
Oh, that's great. So, okay, it's you.
Okay. we're just being funny today. All right.
I guess.
But first, I have a great news item. Isn't it interesting that the front page of the New York Times last week had a stunning headline? Here's the headline. Iraq suffers as the Euphrates River dwindles. It goes on to say that the drying up of this historic river in the land of ancient Babylon is so stunning that even they had to say that Bible prophecy says that this will happen in the last days of history, in the lead up to the apocalyptic battle of Armageddon, described in the book of Revelation.
Are
by
you
the way,
kidding?
Revelation 16:12. Yes.
This
yes.
is in the New York Times.
Yeah.
I cannot believe
the fact
it.
That the Bible says this will happen in the end days.
And I knew that.
The river's drying up, and it's just so awesome. I'm telling you, I won't say daily, but at least weekly,
yes.
there's something dramatic that happens that continues to confirm the fact that we're living in those days.
Yes, it does. And this is just remarkable. Remarkable. Yeah.
And here's some more. You want some more?
Oh, might as well. Yes.
Well, our Obama government says no more building can take place in Jerusalem, and told Netanyahu that is a demand. And Prime Minister Netanyahu answered, we will not obey that.
Wow.
Yeah, and they, even the Jerusalem mayor, his name is Ner Barkat,
mm-hmm.
said that the city of Jerusalem will not be divided. And, of course, what he's talking about is their sovereignty, because anyone of any faith can buy or build anywhere in the city of Jerusalem right now. The Jews are not saying, no, you can't go there. If you want to purchase and live there, that's fine.
That's right.
But what they're telling the Jews is that they have to give up their sovereignty on a certain area of the land of
yes.
Jerusalem, and they're saying they won't do it.
Oh, well.
But didn't Zechariah predict that yes. Jerusalem would be a stumbling stone?
And yes.
And it's certainly going to be that way.
Yes.
Zechariah also said that all nations will be against Israel. And now its only ally, which is the United States, is telling them not to build in Jerusalem, and Netanyahu says we will not obey. So there is definitely a rift there.
Yes. Yes.
We'll see what happens, won't we?
Well, thank God for Netanyahu.
I like him. I remember when he was prime minister before, and
yes.
actually his name means gift of God.
Yes, he is a gift.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. All right, last week, just to give a little recap about what we talked about last week, in case somebody wants to go to the archives on my webpage and listen to it,
mm-hmm.
I thought it would be a good idea just to mention that we did talk about the woman who rides the beast last time.
That's right.
That woman, we found out, is the combination of all false religions, who is author is Satan. Okay.
Right.
And everybody today, if you're not a born-again believer, everyone that I've talked to will say that they all believe in the same God, but there's different paths to get there. Talked to someone just last week that said that too.
Did they also say it's the different names for God? You know, it's the same God, but I just call him a different
name.
Yeah,
they
name.
Say that.
Yeah.
They say that.
Yeah.
And they're
and
wrong.
That's a religion.
Right. And that's why
that's
we see
the
that
one
woman.
World religion.
We that's exactly right. So this woman is coming together right now.
Yes.
Again, another confirmation that we're living in those days. And we pointed out last week too that there is still another reason for the bride to leave. I mean, we would never adhere to that heresy. I would never say that Allah was my God. Never.
No.
So that's why we have to leave. John, we have to leave. It's impossible to stay. Impossible.
That's right. And you know what? You got to be ready.
That's right. Well, John, really, how are you ready?
How do you get ready? You get ready by making yourself beautiful. Because the bridegroom's coming for the bride. So, no, I'm not talking about the makeup. I'm talking about you make yourself beautiful. By studying
the word of God.
God's word.
And, of course, prior to that, you make Jesus Lord of your life.
And first things first.
Yeah,
yes.
Right.
But we go on to beautify us.
The obvious,
yes.
I know.
But wouldn't you, as speaking to women here, but wouldn't you as a bride, and even when you're dating your husband-to-be, don't you talk and talk. Don't you want to know everything there is to know about this guy you're going to marry?
It's called preparation.
Preparation.
Yeah.
And that's what we as a church are supposed to be doing.
I want to know everything about him.
We want to know everything about him.
And yet Christians call themselves Christians and they don't even read his book.
Ah.
Don't know about him.
Oh, will they be ready? Will they go?
Or they let the cares of this life get in the way so that they don't have time to read the scriptures. I think next week I'll bring that little dissertation on remember when the enemy had a meeting with all his demons,
I remember that,
you know?
Yes.
And the one thing he said in there, he says, get them doing good things, you know, make them volunteer and do things, feed the elderly or whatever it is, because it'll keep them so busy they won't have time to be in the word.
That's right.
And people that I see this all
it time. Works
well, they think that if they do good works that God's going to be pleased.
Yes.
But God is not pleased with good works when his word suffers.
You as a believer, are going to be the bride of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple. And you need to prepare yourself.
That's right.
And it's not hard.
The only way.
It's not hard. Not hard.
So anyway, today we're going to continue with that theme with more scriptures on the rapture. But first I had a message left on my phone a couple of weeks ago that I think today would be a good day to answer it.
Okay, I'll read it to you right here. I have it right here. Since you, Sheila, have referenced even the Old Testament scriptures describing the resurrection / rapture, why am I hearing it was first introduced in 1880 by a young girl named Margaret MacDonald?
Good question, too, isn't it?
Yeah, that is a good one.
And it's certainly prevalent in all those that want to believe that we're going to be here for even part of the tribulation. Just to make sure that our listeners understand, there's three different views for the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
There's the pre-tribulation rapture. That means the rapture before the tribulation. There's those that think we're going to go through some of the tribulation, and they're called mid-tribulation people. And then there's the post-tribulation people who believe that we're going to be here for the whole tribulation and then be raptured at the end.
Okay, so the controversy isn't, is there a rapture or is there not a rapture?
Not too much. I mean, you can't deny Thessalonians and Corinthians. I mean, it's pretty obvious. There's going to be a catching away.
Right. It's just a matter of when that occurs, and that's where you get the controversy and some of the confusion.
Right, and there shouldn't be, because it's quite plain in the Bible, if you take it literally,
mm-hmm.
that there's definitely going to be a pre-tribulation rapture, and I'll explain more of that in a few minutes. But as far as the answering the question, again, some Christians claim it was not taught until the 1880s, but what happened was it was rebirthed in the 1880s. We have proof that the catching away of the believers was taught in the first 300 years after Christ, before the Dark Ages, when most biblical truth was stifled and lost, and a new eschatology arose.
That's why they call them the Dark Ages.
Oh, absolutely.
Because we lost our
spiritual darkness.
Spiritual darkness.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, there's going to be some Dark Ages again, only it's going to be darker.
Ooh.
When we leave.
Ooh, that's not good.
But they started teaching that the millennial kingdom had already begun, and even Augustine, who was a great theologian, did an about-face and accepted this new Roman view that Christ is reigning in the Catholic Church, because there was only one church then, because he lives inside of us. Now, that's true spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the kingdom is here now inside of us.
We say we have Jesus living in our hearts,
right.
And through the Holy Spirit living in our hearts.
Right.
Yeah.
But again, I take the Bible literally also, and God gave Abraham and his descendants through the line of Isaac the literal promise of a kingdom. And that is going to come after the tribulation period. So what happened is they started denying this literal application. And I think it's because of anti-Semitism. We know that it was promised primarily in the beginning to the descendants of Abraham. But don't people read their Bibles and see that the bride of Christ are now grafted into those promises,
mm-hmm.
in Romans 11. And we are going to see a literal kingdom on earth where Jesus rules and reigns. And in fact, if anyone was caught after this came out of the spiritualness only, if anyone was caught teaching a literal kingdom, they were called a heretic.
Oh.
Many were burned at the stake for just that.
This is the Dark Ages.
Mm-hmm. So then what happened? Of course, we saw the churches go through, finally, the Reformation.
Yes.
And that's the Church of Sardis. Yes.
Church of Sardis,
Church of Sardis
in the book Revelation.
In Revelation is the Church of the Reformation. But they continued with that unbelief. The only thing that they reformed was that, and this was Luther and Calvin, they rejected that papal authority. But they still continued in the same unbelief that there was not going to be a millennial kingdom,
mm-hmm.
on earth. So then what happened after the Reformation is we see the Church of Philadelphia, and that's the born-again church, and it finally arose and broke away from the Church of Sardis as born-again believers, spirit-filled, and they finally started taking the Bible literally as Christians once did before the Dark Ages.
Yes.
But God said, now see, this is the thing. It got stifled. But God said, you know what? It's time to bring this back. This is a huge teaching. This is what the comfort is that Paul talks about. So God gave a vision to the young girl named Margaret MacDonald, as told by Reverend John Darby, who till the vision actually himself was teaching a mid-trib theology.
So this is a teacher.
So he believed her.
At the time. So this is in the 1880s.
Yeah.
Correct? Reverend John Darby has a vision.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he's also a teacher of a mid-trib, in other words.
Was.
Okay.
And then this girl, and he believed her and went to a
pre-trib position. Yeah.
But, again, it's important to understand that it was taught before the Dark Ages.
That's right.
And we have proof of that.
And it was taught before Reverend John Darby started teaching it again, and Margaret MacDonald had the vision, if I got that right.
Well, I think it was with them that when it resurfaced.
When it resurfaced, yes.
Before the Dark Ages. Okay. But now, old writings are found, and an example, and you can even get this on the internet, a man named Ephraim the Syriac, after he became born again, he studied, and he wrote a thesis in 376 A.D., and it's called On the Last Times, the Antichrist, and the End of the World. You can get this on the internet. Well, it turned out to be that he was a major theologian of early Byzantine church, and now we have his writings in English, and he said that the elect of the Lord are gathered together before the tribulation in order that they may not see the confusion that overwhelms the world.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, who's the author of confusion?
Well, we know that. That's our enemy.
Right.
Yes.
Now, he even went on to say that the abominable, which is the Antichrist, has ancestry from the tribe of Dan, who orders the temple to be rebuilt for himself. Now, there's been a lot of talk and speculation. Maybe someday we'll talk more about that. But what I'm trying to make the point here is it was taught before. Whether you believe in it or not or accept it,
yes,
it was taught.
It was taught.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if anybody tells you no, it wasn't taught in 1880, that's just not true. And again, you can get it on the internet. It's all there.
It's never a good policy to take anyone's word for anything. And
sure.
I mean, you can accept someone's word without refusing it, but it's always good to do your homework and check things out
always
for yourself, which is what we encourage
you. Stir you up only.
Yes.
There's one more, too. The shepherd of Hermas. Hermas?
Hermas?
Okay.
Yes.
He was in the first century, and even Paul mentions him in Romans 16. And he, like John, had a vision of the beast. And then a virgin in white tells the shepherd of Hermas that he has escaped the tribulation because he has believed.
Hmm.
An excavation found it in 1844 in the Sinai Monastery of St. Catherine.
So this is a text, an ancient text. That
exactly.
They found.
Yeah, and he said he had a dream that he escaped the tribulation.
Mm. So this
but
is,
it was more than a dream. It was actually a vision, more like John had a vision. In fact, Bible scholar Irenaeus said it should have been in Scripture, but it didn't make the final cut.
That's
how they really did believe what he said.
Yeah, so... Well, even that it was considered, it says something right there.
And we're going to go on today to talk more about why the tribulation is for the unbelievers, not the believers.
All right. Okay. Now. Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to finish, too, by saying that I found out now that they say most of the early church fathers all taught a pre-trib rapture, except that guy Origen.
Okay.
And he's the one in the 3rd century who started denying the literalism and began to allegorize it or symbolize it. But he taught that the church replaced the Jews as God's chosen people. And then Augustine adopted this teaching, and it remains dogma in the Catholic Church still to this day.
And that's sad because I guess a scripture can be an allegory, but first and foremost, it is the truth, and the truth is a living being.
Right.
The truth is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But... Yeah, can it be an allegory? Yeah, it can. But what did you say at the beginning of the show? You have to look for the literal.
Literal first.
The literal.
Always.
Always.
And thank God for scholars like Spurgeon, Owen, Ryrie, Walford, who I read a lot of their books, most of them actually, and even I had a Ryrie Bible for a while with some really great footnotes. But they all said, if the plain sense makes good sense, then look for no other sense. And I am glad that the pre-trib rapture has been restored so that we understand it. But once again, here we go. It's under attack. Why?
Why? Yeah.
Because it's truth. The enemy will always try to pervert the truth.
That's true.
And that's how we know it is.
And that's how we know it. But I like that. I like that saying, if the plain sense makes good sense, then look for no other sense.
Correct.
That's a good rule of thumb.
Our Bibles are written so that even children can read it and understand
it. That's true.
Our Heavenly Father wouldn't give us falseness.
No.
For a child to read. Now, a child isn't going to be able to allegorize it or whatever you call it.
Yes.
You know, just read the Bible, what it says it means.
Yes.
The only time you might get a little confused is because there is a lot of symbolism in Revelation, but it also interprets itself.
That's true.
It's really there.
And if you stay with us throughout the weeks, you'll find that symbolism, the language of symbolism in the prophets, it stays the same. It doesn't change around. So once you learn the language of the symbolism, then it's...
Sure, it does. Yes. 11 always is sin.
11, for instance, does always represent sin. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right. So, but most who are not pre-trib people, okay, are mid-trib people because the post-trib people cannot answer the question, who would repopulate the earth in the millennial kingdom if all the righteous are taken away at the end of the tribulation and given resurrected bodies? Now, we know through Isaiah that there will be humans in the millennial kingdom.
That's right.
But if they're all raptured and the goats are thrown into the fire,
who's left to...
Who's left?
Because there's obviously a big population in the millennial kingdom that we know by studying Revelation.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Now, we won't have human bodies anymore. We will have resurrected bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But there are going to be those that make it through the tribulation, especially the 144,000, and there will be some tribulation saints. They will not all be martyred, that will go into the millennial kingdom and repopulate. And Isaiah talks about how easy it will be to have children.
So that just can't happen if you have the end of the tribulation rapture.
So that's absolutely
out of the question.
Yeah. So now we come against, well, is it a pre-tribulation or is it mid-trib? And I'm telling you what, most of the time people say it's a mid-trib just because they don't feel worthy enough to be taken away before it gets really bad. They keep saying, well, I don't deserve to leave beforehand.
Well, that's understandable.
And that's understandable, but it's wrong.
Yes.
Because we are clean and righteous in God's eyes. If you're a born-again believer, your sins were taken to the cross. Why do people want to keep taking that back?
Right.
And want to pay for their own sins?
Yes.
You know?
That's human nature, isn't it?
I guess it is.
It is human nature.
I guess it is. But I'd like to look at Romans 1:18 now.
Well, that's a good place to go.
Yeah, we have to get into our word here.
And we will be opening up the phone lines later on for your questions. So while we're looking that up, I'll give you the numbers now. But we'll open the lines up later. But the numbers are, if you have your pencil and paper, write them down. It's 216-901-0933 or 888-677-WORD. Okay?
Okay. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness.
Ooh.
Now, what does that say?
Ooh.
I don't think that's really difficult. Do you,
No,
John?
That's not hard to understand.
And when we hear any time the wrath of God or God's indignation, he is always speaking about that final 7-year judgment that is really talked about in the Bible more than anything else. I mean, if you pay attention, it really is in there. This is coming. He's been warning people since the flood that there would be a worldwide judgment on the sin of unbelief. And that's definitely what we're seeing here. It's against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. We are righteous, and we certainly don't suppress the truth, and that's what the unrighteous are doing today. They don't want to read the Bible. They make fun of it.
That's true.
It really is.
They laugh at it.
That's right.
Okay, well.
We'll continue on with those scriptures.
We'll continue on with those scriptures when we come back. Like I said, the lines will be open, and the phone numbers are, once again, 216-901-0933 or 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-WORD. Okay, make sure you keep your questions to End Times Prophecy. I'd also like to add that Shofar Ministries is a non-denominational 501c3, and all gifts are tax deductible, and donations are really needed to stay on the air.
Really needed.
Really needed. And of course, we'll mention that later, but if you'd like to sponsor the show by advertising your company on Christian radio, you can reach Sheila for details by calling 440-834-9006. And Mike has been able to help us by making some crosses that he has donated to the ministries, which you will receive for any gift, for any amount to keep us on the air. And these crosses are nice. As a matter of fact, not only do they look good on your wall, he's got some that look good in your garden, and he's just come out with a new finish on these that's called a Gothic Stone, and it is really, really nice. So for your donation, you will receive one of these crosses, and just send your check to P.O. Box 513 in Burton, Ohio. That's 44021. Or you can donate through the website, through shofarministries.net, and use the PayPal deal that's right there on the site. Or you can send an email and specify your choice of cross, as well as any questions you might have. Put that all together in an email for Sheila at shofarministries.net. And now I'd like to tell you about one of the sponsors of the show, and that's Mullet Masonry. And they're working with either brick, block, or stone. Their work is impeccable. It earns them a great reputation. They service residential, chimneys, restorations, as well as bigger commercial-type jobs. They're located out in Geauga County, but will service any of the surrounding areas. They're experienced. They do great work. They're affordable and very nice to boot. Need a free estimate? Call Chad Mullet at 216-570-0177. That's 570-0177. Give them a try next time you need any facet of masonry work. After all, Mullet Masonry helps keep the show on the air. By the way, the lines are open, and we're gonna break. And we will see you after the break.
Don't go too far.
Don't go too far.
To the Show Farm Ministries Hour, and we'll be right back after a short break and a song from Laura Fedor. Stay with us.
Stay with us.
Our friends and acquaintances are individuals with whom we share some sort of common ground. They are people with similar professions or hobbies, people whose interests and values more often than not coincide with our own. This is Robin Trzynski of the Original Mattress Factory. Friends and acquaintances commonly bump into each other at our stores. Perhaps this is due to the fact that over 50% of our business comes from repeat customers or referrals. Or perhaps it's because our quality products, reasonable prices, and simple way of doing business appeals to their common sense. Either way, all of our customers receive the same treatment and share the same uncommon experience when they visit our stores. They tour our factory, test our products, and get as much help as they need from our friendly, knowledgeable, and courteous sales staff. And they receive incomparable quality at the most reasonable prices and find exactly what they're looking for, an uncommonly good bed.
The Original Mattress Factory, 4930 State Road, right at the 480 ramp. Or check us out on the web at originalmattress.com.
My name is John DiMartino. I'm from Colorado, and I started using Andy Willoughby's three-step plan. It's extremely encouraging for me, and they've given me training on exactly what to say, and I don't have to be a salesman to talk to people that are calling me. It's made me feel like, wow, let's do business. I can only conceive of growing and growing and growing now. I'm 56 years old, and I feel young. I feel renewed. I'm happy. I'm excited about my financial future. In a short amount of time, less than an hour a day, if someone wanted to, they could have a system. This is a stress-relieving business.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? This is Andy Willoughby. After 5 years, the three-step plan is a proven success story. If you're tired of worrying about money all the time, go to 3stepplan.com or call 888-366-5258. 888-366-5258.
On the line, on the line.
Ooh. Was that great or what?
That was great. That's our own, that's Ohio's own, Northeast Ohio's own Laura Fedor.
Yes, yeah, she lives in Willoughby.
Yeah, and she's great. Okay, well, welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. And if you're, we want to give you those phone lines, do we? Or should we give you the phone numbers here real quick? The numbers are 216-901-0933, or you can call 888-677-WORD with your end time Bible prophecy question.
Amen.
And while we're waiting for a call, you can tell us about, Sheila, can you tell us about your friend?
Yes, Nicole?
Nicole, yes.
Yes, and we want to thank her. She's a sponsor to the show, again, a local representative of the all-natural Arbonne Health and Beauty Products, who will give you a free consultation on proper maintenance for your skin and body. Nicole can help you find the right products especially suited for your particular type of skin, including nutrition and weight control. And, again, I just want to remind you, it's not just about face makeup. It's about having healthy, glowing skin. So be sure to give Nicole a call, 440-840-2176. And you might want to ask her how to earn some free products or start your own at-home business. Nicole's number is 440-840-2176. And Arbonne has them in lines, too. And I know we all use something, even if it's just for washing your hair. And it's really important to remember that Arbonne is non-toxic, and it's very important in these infectious days. So give Nicole a call, 440-840-2176, and tell her you heard about her on WHKW.
That was great. And you know what? We're also WHKWradio.com, where you can listen anywhere in the world.
At the same time.
At the same time. Yeah. Live. Simulcast.
That's right. What a day we're living in, huh?
It's like
Reminds me.
Yes.
That's what Daniel said. One of the signs of knowing it's the end time is that knowledge will increase.
That's right, and knowledge has increased.
Definitely.
Exponentially.
Increased. Yes, it has.
That means more than doubling.
Oh, yeah, yes. Much more than that. And I see there is a question. We have a caller, and this is Taylor in Florida.
In Florida.
We have a lot of listeners in Florida.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. Taylor, you're on the line. How about giving me your question?
Hi.
Hello. Oh, sounds like, is she there? Oh, can we get her back?
Well, gee.
Oh, she went into electronic land. We can't hear her, I guess.
Well, I'm sure we'll get her back, don't you think? Taylor, if you're listening, call us again.
Okay.
All right, there is something that I want to mention, you know, since we were talking about how the pre-trib rapture, people are saying that it did not originate until, you know, the 1880s or 30s or whatever it was.
Yes, that was 1880s, yeah.
This is another reason why you know it's got to be true, a pre-trib rapture, because the enemy's working so hard to deny it. And it's very sad to me to think that there are those who spent an inordinate amount of time and energy trying to disprove the pre-trib rapture. Some had even said, not only did it not originate, you know, but it just is just a fluke. It's just not true at all. So we know that it is, and I just want to say, please give yourself time to study the pre-trib rapture evidence.
Yes.
It's there. There's plenty of it. Okay?
Okay,
Taylor is back. Taylor, give us your question. Sorry about that.
Hi.
Hi again.
How are you today?
We're fine and we're blessed. Thank you.
I'm wondering, I know that the rapture is going to occur soon, and I'm just wondering, is the world going to get even more crazy and chaotic than it already is right now? How bad is it going to get before the rapture occurs?
That's a good question. I think that we're going to see some things, but I think the best way to answer that is let's turn to Matthew 24.
Yes.
If you have your Bible, Taylor, turn to Matthew 24, verse 37.
Okay.
Now here's a good...
Matthew 24, verse 37.
24, verse 37?
Right, and I'll read it.
Okay.
But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, we know this cannot be the final time when Jesus comes back in the clouds, because we know things are going to be bad, because Revelation explains that. So I believe this is referring to the Son of Man calling his bride home and meeting them in the air. And what he's saying is he's saying that everything's going to be pretty normal.
All right.
So I'm thinking that although because of life in general, all right, we see little trials and tribulations, and we're always going to see that. But as far as it getting really bad, I don't think it's going to be that bad. No,
it's not going to be this big dramatic thing.
You know, people
but
say it's bad right now,
yeah.
But I guess if you don't have a job, it is.
It's bad,
right.
Too. Also,
but it's not going to be like a big dramatic, chaotic, crazy mess before the rapture.
Right, Taylor. It's going to be more like it's always been. If you look back through the last couple of thousand years of history, we've lived in a very violent world. You can turn that back down a little. We live in a very violent world. We've had lots of political treachery. Even the history of this country, you see that the way things are happening in this country have happened since the founding of our country.
Right.
So, it'll still be, the world is a mess, and it is a mess because not enough of us have Jesus living in our hearts.
Yeah.
But
I don't have it too bad. I mean, I'm not rich.
No, not at all.
Right.
You know, I'm doing okay.
Yeah, but there's going to be, all these sorrows and everything, but it's going to be nothing unusual.
Yeah, exactly. I think you're right. And, you know, maybe we'll see more, like, I understand the swine flu is supposed to be pretty bad this year.
Well, they keep saying that.
You know, I think that he's going to protect us because he loves us, and we're his bride.
Amen. Do you know that,
Taylor? Did that answer your question, Taylor?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye now. God bless.
Oh, and we have another caller.
Okay.
This is Lou in Burton.
Lou in Burton.
Lou, you're on the line.
Hi, Sheila. How you doing?
I'm
John?
Good.
Hi, Lou.
Hey, I have a question. I'm in my car, so I don't have my Bible, but I believe it's in chapter maybe 13 of Revelation, somewhere around there, where it mentions the city of Babylon and the fall of Babylon and how they'll see all the trade will stop and the smoke will be rising. And but I've heard tell that that is supposed to be New York City, maybe the U.S. What is your take on that?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it's actually going to be the world system. This is going to be, just because it's in that part of Scripture doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be at the beginning or the middle. I think it's more at the end when total destruction is coming. And also, especially the church, the mystery church, because the Antichrist is not going to go along with any other religion after the second half of the tribulation, and he's going to destroy Mystery Babylon. And that's a lot of that is what's talking this, you know, about. We're not positive. I mean, I don't know. Some people say it's like literally Iraq again, because that's where Babylon was, and that Iraq will be built up, and that the Antichrist might even have a throne there. You know, so it's not real crisp. I'll have to say that, but I don't think it's New York, and I don't think it's the United States, because I believe the United States will probably be annihilated pretty quickly after the rapture occurs.
Ooh, that's not...
That's why we're not specifically mentioned then?
That's what I believe, yeah. And in fact, if you go to Jeremiah 30:11, which, John, you want to just jump there to Jeremiah 30:11 and just read what it says so our listeners will get an idea why I say that the United States isn't going to be here long after the rapture of the church.
I'm going there. We're on analog Bibles here, Lou.
I beat you. I got it. Okay, Jeremiah says, and the Lord speaking through him, "For I am with you, says the Lord, to save you." I'm talking to Israel. "Though I make a full end of all the nations where I have scattered you." Now, we have a lot of Jewish people here, so I think that we would fit in there. He goes on to say, "I will not make a complete end of you," talking to Israel, which he never has, "but I will corrupt you in justice and will not let you go altogether unpunished." So that's true. Israel is still here. The Jews are still here. You know, even though that they have worshipped other gods, he has still kept a remnant all along. He has corrected them. They have been punished a few times. But he goes on to say here that all the nations where I have scattered you when they left Israel, and America fits right in there,
yes,
he will destroy.
New York especially.
Exactly.
Yes, and
that's part of the United States, so I believe it will be the whole United States, actually.
Well, I hope to God that I never have to see that. We've seen what,
I don't think we will.
We've seen a little bit of
We're not going to, actually.
I'm just speaking about New York City. We've seen a little bit of destruction of that, and that was not pretty. And I think people tend to single out New York because it's our biggest target. And I would hate to see, there's millions of people.
There's a lot of trade that goes on there, and those verses speak about all the trade, how all the world trades with, and that's why I think they.
But that'll probably go somewhere else after the United States is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of things will happen after we're gone, actually, quickly. Quite quickly.
Yes.
Righty.
All right. It's certainly a time that you don't want to be on the face of the earth.
If you're listening out there and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is a simple thing. You know, tell him that you're really not sure about all this stuff, that you be honest with him because he knows your heart anyway. But tell him you're willing to look and then accept him into your heart so that you'll have the wisdom to understand the truth when it hits you in the face.
That's right.
At least give it a try. At least say, Lord, help me learn. And he'll do that.
And he will do that. Yes, he will. And if things...
Okay.
Well, thanks,
bye-bye,
Lou, for your
Lou.
Call. And it was a great question. Drive safe.
All right, bye-bye.
But, you know, people have so much to lose by just saying, oh, I don't want to believe.
I know.
Why not check it out?
Right.
Because
check it out.
We're wrong, oh, well, we haven't lost anything.
If someone says to you, well, don't believe those Christians because they believe the earth's flat because the Bible says the earth's flat. Check it out. Check it out. The Bible does not say that. And I know that is a... That
they're wrong.
They're wrong.
The Bible says it's not flat.
In several places.
Right.
And,
in fact...
If somebody says, well, there's no way the earth could be created in 6 days and everything in it.
God could do it in a half a second.
Don't even worry about it. If God really is God, he could have created it in a second. And
that's right.
So you, when you see God, you're not taking on faith everything you've heard from Sheila's and John today,
right.
But what you're taking on faith is that Jesus loves you. He came and he died and offers himself as a sacrifice for your sin and the sin of the whole world. And trust him to make you righteous.
Amen.
To give you fellowship with our Father in heaven.
Right.
That's all you need to understand.
Yeah, quit listening to other people and do your own homework.
Okay,
I do want to explain the difference between the wrath of God, the indignation, and just normal trial and tribulations. We've already touched on that. And the wrath of God is an idiom for the seven-year Jacob's trouble is actually another name for it.
So you're talking tribulation, you're saying the same thing as Jacob's trouble, you're saying the same thing.
Right.
As the
now, we will have trials and tribulations in our life,
right.
Okay? And just think of all the martyrs. They suffered, didn't they?
Yes.
Would you say that they had a tribulation?
Absolutely they had a tribulation. Yes.
But it's not the wrath of God, was it? Actually, it was for the glory of God. It was so that they could say, I love Jesus so much that I am willing to die for my faith. That's for the glory of God. It'll bring other people to the Lord because of that. In fact, let's look at John 21:19. John 21:19.
Are you going to beat me there again?
I already did, yeah.
Oh.
Okay. We're talking about Peter here, and he's saying, well, let's read 18 and 19. This is Jesus talking. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger and you girded yourself and walked where you wished, but when you were old, you will stretch out your hands. Jesus is telling him how he's going to die. And another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish to go. But then he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. So in other words, Jesus is telling him how he's going to die. And John goes on and says that this was an explanation of how Peter would glorify God. So the martyrs were glorifying God. So don't call that a wrath or anything like that. Romans 1:18, let's look at that real quick. I've got a few here that we want to cover before we have to stop. Romans 1:18. Beat you. Okay. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Now let's do that again.
Yes.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Okay. Isn't that the one I gave in the beginning?
Yes.
Okay, I'm saying it again. It's on here twice. This must be a reason for it.
The wrath of God. What's that? What is the wrath of God?
That is that seven-year tribulation period.
Where does it come from?
The Old Testament.
No.
Trouble.
Where is the wrath coming from? In
God
this verse?
In heaven.
It's coming from heaven.
Yeah.
Check out the book of Revelation. The wrath of God doesn't start down here. It's coming from heaven. All
all
judgments, all these judgments are coming from heaven. That's exactly what
that is. The wrath of God, not the wrath of people or anything else. This
right.
is God doing what he said he would do all mm-hmm. through the Old Testament. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 1:10.
I'm trying to beat you there.
You might.
1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10.
Okay. How are you doing out there in radio land? You able to beat us?
Well, you know, if I was a racehorse, I don't bet on me. I have 1 Thessalonians 1:10.
Go for it.
It says, and to wait for his son, Yeshua, whom he raised from the dead, to appear from heaven and rescue us from the impending fury of God's judgment.
Wow. Hello?
Oh, we are to wait for his son, Yeshua, who's going to rescue us from the impending fury of God's judgment.
That's right. And let's go to one more.
Sounds Nahum. Like more than just a bad day to me.
Exactly. Let's see if we can find the book of Nahum. And you might need your index for that.
Oh, it's right there. He's one of the prophets. So. Well, I went right by him. Have you ever had that happen?
Yes.
You go there, I saw it. It flashed before my eyes. Now give me the address on that because I'm there.
Oh, Nahum 1, mm-hmm. verse 2, part B.
Verse 2, it says, in my version, Adonai avenges. He knows how to be angry. But the first part says, he avenges. The Lord avenges.
That's right. And my Bible says, the Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries.
Yes.
And he reserves wrath for his enemies.
Oh, I should have read further. Yes, I see what you mean. Yes.
Yeah.
He reserves the wrath.
For
There's
his
that same
enemies.
Word. Wrath for his enemies.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay. So I think we've been given lots of scriptures here, and I even have more for next week yet.
Yes.
I'm not even done. And I remember not too long ago, in fact, the last time we had Shofar mm-hmm. in Burton, I talked and taught on this, and one of the ladies who really didn't think that we were going to be raptured beforehand came up to me afterward and said, you know, I think I finally see it.
Yeah.
And it's there. The evidence is there. I promise you people, if you will just do your own homework, study it, take down these scriptures. All this teaching is on my website, usually by the end of the week. Thanks to Lou, the guy that called in with the question today.
Yes, he's done a great job with that.
And, you know, we only have two more minutes, but can you get to John 3:35 real quick?
Oh, another race.
Yeah, and then we'll close. John 3. 35.
Oh. John 3:35. Sounds like you're there already.
Yeah, I am. Okay, so it says, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. See, that's what the judgment's all about. It's the sin of unbelief in him,
yes.
Especially to the Jews. They are going to finally accept Jesus their Messiah during the tribulation period.
Yes.
I believe in the first half.
I do too.
Whoa.
Whoa. Now, that was a lot. Remember, God's not waiting up there in heaven just to throw his wrath down upon the earth to judge you. He loves you, and he's going to take you away. If you receive him as your Savior today, you're going away with him.
It could be this year.
So, you know, and the purpose for the tribulation is to get people to repent. So, if you have any questions for Sheila or you would like her to speak at your church or home group, just email her at Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Now, this is a listener-supported radio broadcast. If this show is a blessing to you, then your help is really needed to keep this show on the air. So any and all donations are extremely important and vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. Please consider being a partner in this endeavor. Use PayPal or send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513-513, Burton, Ohio 44021. All your donations, any donation will put you on the monthly newsletter. And that's just chock full of these gold nuggets that we talk about every day and current events of these last days right here in America and in Israel. Why not, and if you have time, why not check out that webpage? You know, our previous radio shows are archived, thanks to Lou Buckles.
And all the newsletters.
Too. And the newsletters are there, too. And it's very easy. Just press a button on your computer screen, and you can listen to any of the shows. And Lou Buckles, who does this sort of thing with websites, is fair priced and willing to help you with your own web pages. Let us know if you're interested, and we'll forward your telephone number to him.
That's right.
And a great study for beginners, Hebraic Roots 101, Parts 1 and 2, available on Sheila's webpage as well, shofarministries.net.
It's a must-have for new beginners in learning on Hebraic Roots.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to close with the Aaronic blessing.
Yes, we are.
Here we go. Yivrechaka Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'ihunecha, Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, or shalom. Till next week, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her shall prosper. Doesn't say maybe.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the Internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.